So today we are on week 6 and the series continues. Our series is Christ, our message. Okay? And today's subtopic is holiness, the fruit, not the root. Holiness, the fruit, not the root. And that will make sense. And it is so important you understand this message about holiness. Otherwise, you'll get confused when you hear people talking about holiness. And now that we understand that righteousness is a gift, a good question to ask yourself is, if I am already righteous in God's eyes, the next question is, how should I live because I'm righteous? Now, this very question becomes the gateway into our message for today. Holiness, the fruit, not the root. Okay? Because holy living is never a means by which we gain righteousness. Please understand that. Holy living is never the means by which we earn our righteousness. What does that mean? Instead, it is a beautiful evidence of righteousness already in us. Are you understanding? We don't become holy or try to act holy so that we can become righteousness. We can become righteous. But holiness is evidence of righteousness in us. Are you getting the difference? Some people perform holiness acts so that they can become righteous. But the Bible teaches a different thing. It says, because you are righteous, holiness will flow naturally from you. Okay? So if righteousness is indeed a gift, we need to ask ourselves a very critical question. And this critical question would be to be able to understand, what do you mean when we say that holiness is a fruit, not the root? Now, our central scripture is from the book of Romans, chapter 6, verses 22. Let me read. But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Okay? So the key doctrine here is holiness is not the means by which we gain acceptance. Rather, it is the undeniable evidence of our deep union in Christ. The performance gospel teaches, do holy, act holy, dress holy, behave holy, so that you can be accepted before God. But the teaching is actually the other way around. Because of righteousness in you, which is a gift, holiness now becomes the life that flows from you. And I want you to see, to notice something very interesting here. It says, holiness is a fruit, okay? And to the fruit of holiness, not the root, okay? So once a believer truly grasps that they are righteous, the next question, they are accepted by God, is settled. God has accepted me because of righteousness, which is a gift. It is not something I did. I did nothing. If you have been saved for quite some time in the past, I remember we used to feel that, oh, God saw something in me. God saved me because he saw something in me that he wanted. God saw nothing in you. There was nothing in us that was of any value to God. In fact, we did not give God our lives. God did not need our lives. You understand? Jesus gave his life for us. Now that one removes that self-importance. There must have been something. My mother prayed me into the kingdom. No, your mother prayed you nowhere. But God's will for your life is that you should be saved. And you made up your mind and you decided, I want to be saved. Your mother's prayers were wonderful because they shaped something that God triggered. But that was not why you got accepted. Are you understanding? I'm trying to remove the self-importance and ourself in this whole thing. So what kind of life naturally blooms from this brand new nature that we have received in Christ? And the answer is holiness. Holiness, not legalism. Not legalism, not mere outward performance, and not the heavy burden of religious pressure. Because religion can put pressure on you to try and have the look like you are holy, but you are not really holy. But the beautiful fruit that originally organically grows from a life that is deeply rooted in Christ. So when you are a lover of Christ, when you are a follower of Christ, when you understand that righteousness is a gift and it is the root, and when I say righteousness is a root, I want you to understand that when the Bible says that God made him who knew no sin to become sin so that the righteousness of Christ may be in you. In other words, when we are talking about righteousness, we are talking about who? Christ. Christ is our righteousness. The only reason we stand before God and there is anything is, Lord, not that I have prayed, Lord, not that I have fasted, Lord, not that I have given. It is because of Christ. That is why I'm standing before God with confidence. Are you understanding that? So when we talk about righteousness, I want you to think about Christ. Christ is the root. Righteousness is the root. It's because of Christ that you flow out the life of Christ. Now, you cannot do it the other way around. I'm really trying to get that clear, okay? So in chapter 5, we got our right standing. I mean, in our previous chapter. But in this chapter, we are now getting the right expression. Because after you're standing right, and after now you know that all these things have been done for you, how is your life expressed? It's expressed through holiness. And this powerful progression brings us to the place where, you know, grace gives us access. We've talked about grace. We've talked about identity. We've talked about sonship. We talked about righteousness. Righteousness establishes our position. But holiness now expresses who we are. This is not about behavior modification. Please understand this. It is not about changing your behavior. Changing your behavior does not make you a Christian. Okay? This is about natural manifestation. And that is why holiness is the fruit of union. Roman unveils something very powerful. It says, but now being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness. Notice carefully, holiness is called fruit. Are you understanding it, Jerry? Holiness is fruit, not root. Okay? And what do we know about fruit? Fruit grows from life. Okay? It does not create life. Does a fruit create the tree? The life of the tree. But the life of the tree creates the fruit. I believe you're getting. Okay? So think of a tree. A tree isn't alive because it bears fruits. It bears fruits because it is alive. Are we together? Likewise, a believer does not become accepted through holy living. A believer does not become accepted because of holy living. Instead, holy living is a visible, undeniable evidence that divine life is already present. So the root is Christ, and the fruit is holiness. The root is righteousness, which is Christ, and the fruit is holiness. I want you to get those two, because most people put it the other way around. When people think of holiness, they think about sinlessness or sinless righteousness. But that can't be so. There is none who is holy. There is none who is righteous. It can also not mean sinlessness, because the way holiness is used in the Bible, there were holy people, holy days, holy ground. There are even holy plates and cups in the Bible. Now, you cannot say your cups are sinless, sinlessly righteous. Of course, they have no sin. But when you think about holiness, holiness does not mean perfection. It means separated. Okay? So when the Bible is telling us about holiness, it's telling us we are separated unto God. Let me explain that better. So religion will always try to change your actions before your nature. Okay? Please understand this as point number two. The gospel changes nature before it changes conduct. The gospel will change your nature before it changes your... If you don't understand point number two, you will get confused between your character and your identity. Let me try and clarify that. What does that mean? Now, the only way that a person can behave in a godly way is not to try to make that person try to do certain things. Actually, my early life, I was really into that outward performance. I'd even bought a book called The Imitation of Christ by Thomas Kempis or something like that. I read that book and it's about performance. What would Christ do in this situation? And you know, you're angry and the lid is about to blow off. And you know, what would Christ do in this situation? He would calm down and he would calm the storm. But what are you doing on your behalf? You're just blowing the lid and you're stirring up the storm into probably a level 6 tornado. Yeah? Because you can't transform by outward behavior. Let me try to simplify it. You guys have seen pigs, yeah? I hope everybody has seen pigs. We've seen a few pigs outside here. I don't know where they come from every Sunday. But the nature of a pig is to be a pig, okay? If you wanted to, you can take a small pig. Let's take a small pig. If you took a small girl pig and you washed it and showered, I just picked girl because of the way we were going to dress her, okay? Not because of anything. Don't get any weird ideas. So we take a small piglet and we shower it and we shampoo it and we brush it from the normal brown dirty pigs we see outside here, and we really clean that pig, and then we get some nice striped black and white striped suit and put on the pig, and then we get a nice red ribbon and tie on its neck, and then we get some nice red lipstick and put on its snot. And I get some nice gold earrings and probably a pink ribbon on its tail. And then get some nice black leather shoes and put on its feet. The only way you can keep that pig clean is to make sure you lock that pig in a room where it will not get out. But if there's a window in that room, I believe the pig would be looking out of the window and thinking, that is where I need to be. That's what religion does. You know, when religion clothes you, behave like this, don't drink, don't smoke, dress holy, do all these kind of things, that is you dressing a pig. The day you forget to lock that door and that pig gets out of that door, that pig will go into the mud and wallow in the mud with its nice suit, with its lipstick, with its dash of cologne. It does not care because it is a pig. And that is what the Bible is trying to paint the picture of. Our nature was piggish. In us was piggishness. So trying to clothe that piggish nature cannot change us and make us more like God. What God had to do was to come and remove our piggish nature and put in the nature of Christ, so that now you are able to manifest the life of Christ. So the only way we can save that pig and really make it to behave like a human is if it were possible, we remove its piggishness and throw the piggishness away and take human nature and put it inside the pig. And now you no longer need to lock the pig because it has a new nature. That's the simplest way I can explain that. Do you understand? That is why, for us to become Christ-like, we need to have Christ in us. That is why external rules and regulations can only restrain people temporarily. They might curb outward behavior for a season, but when the pig sees the mud, the pig is going for the mud. Have you ever noticed that there were things you loved watching before you got born again, and today, even if you had access to them, they no longer excite you? There are movies I would watch. Today, I will just look at them and I feel, I don't want to watch that. I have a problem with movies, but really, most of the time, I don't even want to watch them. There are programs I would never miss on TV. Now, I would care less. Why? Because the appetite changes, but it is progressive. Don't be ever deceived that you just change overnight, and some people change overnight, but it's progressive. And you begin to realize, wow, I'm changing, but not from the outside. I'm no longer worried who is watching me. This is what I want to do, and this is who I want to be. Are you understanding? Why? Because new life has been put in you. So the new covenant is not about God simply improving our old man or the fallen nature. It is God giving birth to a brand new man. You must understand that. A brand new creation within us. That is what changes and transforms us. And that new life, that new nature naturally desires what pleases God. That is why even when you lie and you do something stupid, you will still feel a certain guilt or shame because it is not now your nature to lie. In the past, you would lie and you would be happy about lying and you would invent lies. Okay? I hear sometimes people say, you know, when you are preaching like this, people think, oh, you are giving people license to sin. No, you don't need license to sin. You are doing very well without license to sin. Have you ever noticed nobody teaches children to be evil? That nature is there. No one has ever taught their kid, now be bad. Throw this, respond like this. You don't have to teach. It is there because the natural condition of every ground is weed. Okay? But this new life desires to please God. So holiness is not some forced morality or begrudgingly performance, trying to perform. It is a natural behavior of our new nature in Christ. It is a natural function. Holiness is a natural function of that new nature you have. Okay? So grace transforms the root and holiness beautifies the appearance of the fruit. Grace transforms the root and holiness beautifies the appearance of the fruit. Number three, holiness without righteousness becomes legalism. Holiness without righteousness becomes legalism, okay? And this protects us and the church and believers from what we call performance preaching, performance messages. So whenever holiness is preached without first establishing the foundation of righteousness, people will fall into insecurity. You understand? Interestingly, I always thought that holiness should come before righteousness. Don't you think, you know, when you think about it, you think I should be holy so that I move towards righteousness. But the Bible doesn't put it in that order. It says, first you are made righteous in Christ. You are made righteous in Christ. Then holiness is a natural fruit. So when you are not taught that carefully, you begin to desperately try to prove your worth to God and to others. Has there ever been a season in your life where you felt, I want to prove God, I want to prove to you something. I want to prove that I deserve, I am worthy. And you pray, you fast, you do all those sorts of things. You even give, you outgive yourself and you do all those things. But what do those things produce? They produce comparison with others. You find yourself always comparing yourself with other people. Am I like so and so? Am I as good as so and so? I need to pray like so and so. I need to worship. I need to give. Okay? If it's not that, it develops hypocrisy. You're living a double life. Have you ever noticed that there are some pastors who don't want people to know when they are sick? They hide and they go to secret hospitals because they have portrayed this picture that I never get sick. And if I show people that I am sick, then there is going to be a problem because it is going to look like I don't have faith. Why should the pastor be sick and the pastor is supposed to heal the people? So you begin to live a hypocritical life. Or because you don't want to show people you are struggling and you find people portraying an outward image of a life they don't really live or can afford. Yeah, so you find believers going into debt, going into designer shops, trying to buy designer clothes they can afford because they're trying to put up an image that a godly person must look sharp. You must have a nice suit, you must have an expensive shirt, and you must have nice, pointy, shiny shoes. If you don't have those, you can't be a representative of God because God does not look broke. But that is a foolishness of religion. God does not care how you look, your designer suit. God wants to see that there is fruit of righteousness, of holiness coming from a life that is a life that is righteous. So if you don't understand this, you will live a hypocritical life. You live a hypocritical life and you won't enjoy life. Number three, you will harbor secret guilt. Because you know in the background, you are struggling with stuff. And you are doing bad stuff. You are watching the wrong things. You are doing the wrong things. And you are saying the wrong things. Because you are trying to perform. You don't realize that righteousness is a gift. Out of that gift of righteousness, when you know that Christ has given you the gift of righteousness, out of it flows holiness. And then there is condemnation. Always feeling like you have fallen short. I have not arrived. I have not arrived. And sometimes, if you're not careful also, preachers will take advantage of this and make you always feel you are not yet there. You need to do more so that God can bless you more. Your last gift was not good enough. There was something you withheld, and that is why God didn't bless you. You need to pray more. You need to fast more. You need to give more. You need to serve more. And it is always more, 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 more. But you'll always fall short. And then finally, you get into religious exhaustion, burning out from trying too hard. Have you ever felt tired of religious nonsense? Now, if there's anyone who has ever gotten tired of religious nonsense, yeah, Lisa, I can see your hand is up there. Mine too. Both, if I could also raise my feet, I would raise my feet. I mean, one of the most exhausting things is religious nonsense. And a lot of times the body of Christ has misunderstood the grace of God and the message of the Christ and have put on themselves burdens that they were never meant to carry. And these things exhaust you, is what I'm calling religious nonsense. Do this, do that. Do this to connect with God. Do this, practice this, pray 10 hours, 7 hours, 5 hours, sing 15 songs. All these kind of things and many other things, you know, you have done. Buying prayer shawls, buying anointed nails, buying anointed keys, buying anointed that, anointed this, anointed the other. And you get so tired, and then you one day wake up and realize, man, I must be stupid. I must be stupid. How does God rent the curtain to show me now he wants to come and dwell in me? And he's dwelling in me. He is in me right now. We didn't invite God here. We came with God because he indwells us. So how is it now that I am going to believe that now God wants to come out of me and get into a handkerchief, and then the pastor will sell that handkerchief to me for 1,000 shillings so that God can now be with me? If you're not on drugs, man, you're something worse than drugs. For you to actually believe that kind of foolishness. But it's called the blinding of the eyes. So Christ died so that he can indwell me. And then now he comes out of me and he jumps into a packet of handkerchiefs that were bought by your pastor from a supermarket that probably are thieves who are selling those things. And another crook packed those things. And then they were opened in the church by still another crook. And then now God decides he's going to jump inside those handkerchiefs. And then I'm going to go and take my 1,000 shillings there to buy that 1,000 shilling handkerchief so that now I can go home with God. Those are effects of drugs. Yeah, those are effects of drugs. That is what you do when you take marijuana since you're a baby. That's when you start behaving and thinking that that is really... Yeah, but thank God... We stopped taking marijuana when we when we stopped believing. I'm not saying we used to go on drugs, yeah? But literally what I'm meaning is that when you stop behaving like that, now you can be sure you're no longer on drugs. Okay? Those are side effects of drugs. Or God will enter a prayer shawl that when you cover yourself, now you're praying under the anointing of God. Some rag that was made in Israel and somebody believed. Yeah? Let me not go there. So righteousness settles who I am before God. Okay? But holiness reveals who I am in my daily life. Okay? Righteousness settles who I am before God, but holiness reveals who I am in my daily life. So you do not pursue holiness to become righteous. You express holiness because you are righteous. Are you understanding? Yep. Repetition is good for learning. Number four, true holiness is Christ-likeness, not rule-keeping. Okay? True holiness is Christ-likeness, not rule-keeping. Holiness is often tragically misunderstood as merely avoiding bad things or adhering to a list of do's and don'ts. But biblical holiness is far deeper than that. It is the very life of Christ himself expressed through the believer. The life of Christ expressed through the believer is what we call holiness. It is purity in our thoughts. It is love in our speech. It is integrity in our secret lives. It is mercy in our relationships. It is surrender in our motives and obedience flowing from delight, not duty. I want to be right because I need to be right, not I want to be right because people have to see me right. Are you understanding? It flows from your heart. Okay? So this is not dead religion. This is a glorious reality of Christ formed in the believer. So holiness is not merely saying no to sin. It is powerfully saying yes to the life of Christ within you. You understand? We don't become sin conscious. We become righteousness conscious, and we are conscious of the life of Christ within us. And number five, fruit takes time, but the life is already there. Okay? Fruit takes time. Jerry Mark, do you have any idea how long it takes a mango tree to produce fruits? A rough guess. Yeah? 7 to 10 years. Do you understand? So that mango tree that we have outside there, when we planted that mango tree, the day it was put into the ground, life was flowing through that tree. For how many years? 1 year? 2 years? 3 years? 4 years? 5 years? 6 years? And then on the 7th year, we began to see some forms of fruiting. Okay? So fruiting takes time. So sometimes when you don't see that, like the fruit that you are hoping to see, it does not mean that the life is not inside the tree. Are you understanding? Okay? So this one should also make you not to become too hard on yourself. And I am not talking about people who deliberately want to do wrong. That is not what I'm talking. I'm not talking to those. If you're that kind of person, this message is not for you. I'm talking to the person who has the life of Christ within them, but they are beating themselves and they are saying, I'm not seeing these things. These things take time. Now, understood, fruit develops progressively. It takes time. Some believers become discouraged because they do not yet see the full maturity or instant perfection in their lives. So you still talk like us sometimes. Yeah, when you're supposed to keep quiet, you still run your mouth. When you're supposed to be merciful and forgiving, sometimes you're still harsh. Sometimes you don't have the discipline. You're supposed to be fasting even for half a day, but by quarter of the day, you've already eaten more than you eat any other regular day. It's lack of discipline. Now, you can't say you are fallen, now you're going to hell. No, but the fruit of self-discipline and self-control is going to begin to form in your life. Okay? So, but fruit grows from abiding. This is what I want you to know. Fruit grows by abiding in Christ. Fruit grows by abiding in Christ, not by panic or frantic effort. None of us have ever seen that mango tree or those apple trees shaking. You know, trying to produce fruit. They just relax and then life flows through the tree, and the natural result of life flowing through the tree is what? Fruit. Fruit. Okay? So think of a branch. The branch does not strain or strive. It simply remains connected to the vine. When you cut those branches, they become firewood because they are useless. But as long as it is connected to the tree, life will flow through the tree and it will produce fruit. So as believers, continue to abide in God's grace, and the Holy Spirit will faithfully produce fruit in you. And with time, you will realize that purity has become part of your life. Discipline has become part of your life. Love has become part of your life. You are not trying to love. You just love because it's part of you. Patience is part of your life. Humility has become part of your life. And self-control has become part of your life. Why? Because you are connected to the vine, and fruit is forming. So the process of bearing fruit is progressive, yes. But the life source is already complete and perfect in Christ. Please remember that. Okay? So don't inspect the fruit so much that you forget the root. Okay? Don't inspect the fruit too much that you forget the root. I am abiding in Christ, but the fruit is still going to. Yep. So that would speak so much strongly, especially in our discipleship setting, that you might think, oh, today I spoke nonsense. Something must be wrong. I think the devil is in my mouth. No, the devil is not in your mouth. It's just stuff in you. Life is flowing, and with time, all the dead leaves and the bad habits, you know, you don't go to a tree when the leaves are dead and shake the tree. You understand? When life begins to flow through the tree, the dead leaves fall and new life begins. That is how it is in your Christian life. You don't have to stay there shaking and trying to remove, oh, I talk nonsense too much. Continue abiding until wrong talk will not be any more part of your life. Have you realized how sometimes there are so many things that have changed about your life that you no longer struggle with? It's just second nature. Yeah, I was so impressed 2 days ago when we were the fundi here who was doing the repairs, and somebody had brought excess materials, more than we had paid for. And the fundi said, this is wrong. This, whoever did this does not know what they're doing. Take these things back and tell them to give us just what is ours. Yeah, maybe in the past you would have said, hallelujah, the Holy Ghost has blinded the eyes of the shopkeeper, and instead of getting 1 kilo of these things, we have gotten 2 kilos. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And this is what happens when you serve the Lord faithfully. And would have come and given a rubbish testimony in church. But the guy said, no, take these things back, because the shopkeeper was not in their right mind. And sure enough, when this guy returned the things to the shop, she had not even realized what she had done. But I said, wow, that is a nature in a person that does not want to do wrong. Not because we were there watching. Yeah. Or when somebody go to the supermarket and they give you wrong change and you say, surely this is the doing of the Lord. He has blinded the eyes, because God takes care of us in mysterious. Yeah, return that change. That is stealing. You understand? But that is how your nature actually changes. You no longer want to do the wrong thing. But it happens by abiding in Christ. Christ. Holiness is what grace looks like when you mature in life. When grace has fully matured, now holiness is what the life of the Christian really looks like. And so as we close, let me just remind you that holiness is not a ladder that we climb to reach God. I'm not becoming holy so that God can love me more. I'm not trying to become holy so that I can reach God. No, it is a sweet fragrance of a life that has already touched Him, okay, and has been transformed by His presence. So the fruit does not struggle to prove the tree's authenticity. You understand? Your fruit should not be struggling to prove that you are a tree. It simply reveals the life that is already within you. So when we go to the mango tree cannot try to prove to be a pineapple. Hey guys, look, I am a pineapple. I know there is that pineapple song, I don't know, under the sea, blah, blah, blah. But the mango tree, the mango tree does not need to sing the pineapple song until it becomes a pineapple. When we go to that tree, we know what life is inside that tree. How? by the fruit we are seen on the tree. Okay? So the tree does not try to prove. So we too, when that life begins to flow through us, we don't have to try to perfect fruit to prove that we are Christians. We are Christians because the life of Christ is in us. And we also need to be gracious with one another because we are not all on the same level. Okay? So maybe when it comes to gossiping, some people have a higher CLT than others, yeah? CLT is contagious lip tremors, yeah? you just find your mouth running when it should not be running. So some people are running at 90%, others are running at 88%, others are running at 50%, others it's 20%, and we are all Christians, but some have been perfected or have grown in perfection more than others. So when you see your neighbor having a CLT moment, you just pray for them and tell God, may that life of Christ in you increase so that your CLT can drop a bit, yeah? So stop trying to manufacture fruit through pressure, guilt, and striving. One of the best things that you can live the real Christian life is when you no longer have to perform for anyone or to prove to anybody anything or to try to look anointed. You don't have to try, you know, to try and walk in a certain way to look anointed. You know, there's that anointed look. There are people who can't believe that they're going to receive from you unless you change your tone. Father, in the name of Jesus. You don't have to pray like you're sick, yeah? But I'm telling you, these are the things we do. Oh my God, my God, my God, he's here. You don't have to do all that drama to prove that God is here. No, he has been here. I came with him. He was in me. And even after I leave here, I'm going to leave a shell of a building and I'm gone with him. And next Sunday, he'll be here because we'll be here and we carry him. So we don't have to prove. We don't have to perform. We don't have to try and conjure up. We are not sorcerers. You know, sorcerers are the ones who sit and they conjure up the spirits. And then when they're sitting around the Ouija board and they are feeling, he's here now. He's here. Anytime you're in church and people are saying he's here now, you are on a Ouija board. You're practicing witchcraft. Because it's demons that come like that, not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in the believer. So when somebody says, he's here now, he's here, I feel him. Those are demons. You're feeling demons. The Holy Spirit is in you. And you do not have to try pressure or striving to make him come. To make him come. Okay? He's in us. And he abideth in us. For how long? Forever. And forever is how long? Forever is how long? Forever is forever. Okay? So stop trying to manufacture fruit through pressure. Instead, abide in Christ. Remain in his grace and stay deeply rooted in righteousness. And what is the root? And what is and what is in the root will inevitably or will end up showing up in the fruit. That's why the mango tree there does not dance or sing. All it needs to be is fed, water and the soil, the word, the spirit, life flows through that vessel. And what comes out is the fruit. So let holiness grow organically and beautifully from the very life of Christ in you. And that is why we say, and that is why Christ is our message. Because when Christ is in you, then Christ-likeness becomes natural. And it won't happen overnight, but with time, you'll find that you are yielding parts of your members to him. Your mouth has been surrendered to him. Your body has been surrendered to him. Your thoughts have been surrendered to him. Your hands and everything about you have been surrendered to him. Father, we thank you for your word. May that word bless. May that word remind someone. May that word instruct and bring us to the understanding that it is you in us who is doing all these things and not us trying to make ourselves more and more like you. We thank you, Father, for hearing us, For we pray this, believing and trusting in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen.
Honey from the Rock Ministry. We are a Christ-centered church.